What do you guys got for this one? This one, I missed most of game one.
Yeah, this is game one, Ty.
Oh, shit. I was like, I haven't seen a game yet. Well, fuck. They're flying. I still can't believe Nashville made it, but they look like a totally different team by the second half. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Hoser's Panel. I am T. Croaks, Tyler Croakman. I'm here with my two homies, Mike and Taylor. How you doing, fellas?
What's going on, Ty? Happy to be back. Playoffs have fucking started.
Playoff edition.
It's so hot, man. First three games went to overtime. Real great games to watch. Fourth game was a close one. Nail biter. Tampa squeaks it out with like a minute left, I think they scored. Minute 14 left. So, yeah, we're getting into the thick of things, and I love it.
Yeah, nice and fast. And how you doing, Mike?
Oh man, it's been great. First game of Vancouver Calgary. It's gonna be a great best of three series. just really good so far.
Such an extra punch in the nuts that those games are on every day, and then they're like not even playing well still. It's like, yeah, it feels like there's more eyes on it too. It's just like for no reason. It's like such a for fun game every night. Oh yikes!
Yeah,
that is off putting.
Yeah, other than that, yeah, the first three games, first ever time the NHL's first three postseason games have all gone to overtime. So this year has been incredibly close. There's never been more than a one goal game, I'm pretty sure, so far.
Yeah, and man, to see fans back in the building like they are in Florida is so special, man. Like, really, the playoff hockey there, like the adrenaline through it that are coursing through these guys' bodies as they're wheeling. It's pretty sick. Like, it's great hockey. It's fast everywhere, but you can see it's just on a whole nother level there. And I think that's due to fans.
Yeah, just a quick note for everybody listening. We are recording Monday night, so we're halfway through the Boston Washington game two, and Carolina Nashville's, but I think, just finished the first period. Colorado's about to start in about an hour's time. So that's basically where we are right now.
One more quick thing I wanted to touch on that we just, I forgot to mention last week, was the TJ Oshie game. I think his father passed away, was it the day before or like a few days before?
A couple days.
And yeah, I guess he scores a hat trick in his first game back. And they all are saying it was for Coach Soch,
Coach Osh.
Coach Osh, thank you, what they used to call him. And I think they all even had a commemorative coach on their bucket.
Yeah,
they still do?
They're still wearing them.
Oh, wow. It was special. I think he broke into tears as soon as, I don't know if the game was over or after the third goal, but yeah, like, remarkable performance. And there were some quotes from the players were like so touching. They were saying stuff like, you know, we were all just trying to be there for him tonight, and he ends up being there for all of us. And yeah, it was really special to watch.
Yeah, it was great. It kind of sucked that it was the round two of Tom Wilson against the Rangers that really overshadowed it, but
yeah,
for him to score the hat trick and then the empty netter, and he starts breaking down on the bench with like a minute left. It was, I mean, I don't want to say it was nice to see, because obviously his father passed away, and I think we can all remember that that interview. I think it was with Pierre McGuire after they won the cup.
And
was just breaking down into tears about how his dad's got dementia and
he didn't want to give him the cup to remember it before he lost his memory.
Exactly. Yeah, he doesn't remember much, but he's sure as hell gonna remember that.
And oh, chills.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I rewatched that a couple times, and that was.
So no, good for him, and look for him too. I still see it. He's got a fire really lit in him now, and he's playing for something else.
Oh, he's flying already. He's basically four and a half periods in. He's got 3 points already, and looking great, throwing the body around. And
watch out for Oshie. And those Capitals too, man. They're a hard hitting, scary team in the playoffs. Jeez. They, like, everyone is scary to hit you, and they're all just throwing bodies nonstop.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, I wouldn't hit that.
Oh, sorry, just with that Oshie situation, like, it really just shows you that, like, your team is your family too, right? Like, that just kind of breaks down the hockey culture. I love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as far as the Caps, like, fucking their leading scorer will throw the body and knock you out. He's insane. So they're high flying, high hitting Tom Wilson team, and scary to play against for sure.
Well, we might as well just jump right into that series, hey?
Yeah,
let's go for it.
Tom Wilson gets the first goal of the 2021 NHL playoffs.
Classic.
Great pass by Oshie. It was kind of a weird play. They were coming down like 3-on-1, 3-on-2, and Oshie, I thought he was going to go far side to try and like move over Rask, but he just drops it back short side to Wilson, and Wilson just rifles it far side.
Like, oh, yeah.
The skilled player, he can definitely show to be.
Yeah, it's amazing how he is that like presence out there, but he also is that like offensive gifted. Yeah. Physical presence and then offensively gifted presence. It's really something for sure.
And like them adding Mantha too, like you really know, like it's such a big guy that can do so much on a team like this where everyone's a big guy that can do a lot.
Yeah.
But like he's just such a mountain of a man. Is he like the way he can use his body and cut to the net? And get positioning on pretty much anybody is awesome for them.
He really fits their MO, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He fits right in with that team. So, and he's playing like second or third line now, so his matchups are completely different than they were in Detroit. it gives him a little bit more space out there.
Well, I mean, it was pretty quick into the game, but Samsonov's already on the COVID list, so he didn't get the start. Vitek Vanacek got the net, and pretty quick into the game, he pulls a groin on a shot.
That's right.
And big old Craig Anderson comes in. I think it's like a week before his 40th birthday, comes in. And, I mean, the boys rallied around him. He played well. And he gets the OT win in game one and starts game two as well.
Yeah. Not looking too bad in game two either. 24 shots, 2 goals against. So could be a whole lot worse.
Game one was ugly, though. Like, I don't know. I found it pretty hard to watch.
For the 39-year-old, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely looks out of his element, I think.
Yeah, like, I mean, that must have been out of nowhere for him, but... Oh, sorry. I was going to say that must have just been out of nowhere for him. And you know what? I was totally surprised. Like, I almost forgot he was there. Anderson was on the Capitals. I was, like, so surprised. Like, that's who they got to go in now? Like, holy cow.
Not to jump to another series, but when we learned that Varlamov was injured, not starting, and Sorokin was getting the start, I totally forgot Corey Schneider was there. And he was the guy backing him up. So,
yeah.
I mean, as a third goalie, all you can do is just hope that you don't hurt the team. Totally. And, I mean, Craig Anderson did more than enough as a third string of what you need to, I guess he did just enough to get the win, but didn't hurt the team, which is a win big time.
It's crazy. Like they picked up Hank at the beginning of the year, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Like this year has been such a whirlwind. They've gone through so many of these goalies. It's crazy to think that we landed on Craig Anderson after all the goalies.
Right.
Yeah. Going into the season, it was Henrik Lundqvist and Ilya Samsonov to like battle it out for the duo. And then, obviously, what happened with Lundqvist, and then Vanacek came in, proved to be a little bit more consistent. Obviously, wasn't hurt as much as Samsonov was. You just get to here, and you got no other option but Craig Anderson. It's bizarre.
Goalies, playoffs, and the hockey. It's a wild ride all the time.
Definitely.
Man, you know what, though? Sorokin has looked phenomenal. Like, the game that I watched, he had, I think, 2 split saves that, like, hurt my groin. I couldn't believe it. And one of them was, I'd watch it, like, 3 or 4 times, the second one. That guy looked like he was playing out of his mind most of that game. And that's Pittsburgh, right? Yeah. Islanders-Pittsburgh? Can we hop into that quick?
We got tons of time.
Talking about goaltending. Man, Jari looks awful. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, dude, terrible. Like, shoot glove. That thing is letting in everything. Like, it was an absolute sieve. I think every single goal he either should have had or it squeaked right through him. It was, like, tough to watch, man. I mean, his offense and, that tip by Crosby. You see that?
Oh.
The save, right?
No, I thought when he was...
Oh, sorry, yeah, yeah.
He gets, like, bodied out of the way, and he, like, reached full extent. Like, I don't know how he got a piece of it, and it's a perfect tip. It was, like, around through a guy's body. I was like, are you kidding? How does he get a stick on that? And it's like, the goalie had it. Yeah, perfect tip. Couldn't believe it.
Tom Wilson just got pulled down 45 feet away from the puck and got embellishment.
Really?
Even though he just, like, fell over.
That didn't look too good in the knee either.
That's a bit of a joke of a call there. That's a...
Yeah, it's Tom Wilson, though, so fuck him.
You gotta get him somehow, right? He didn't get any sassy, he's just gonna give him this.
Yeah. Sorry, to draw it right. Because Crosby, I mean, Crosby's... his for all the things he does so well, his tips are like incredible.
Yeah, because he had the one save. Stupid.
He does that one where he's like 8 feet along the goal line.
The goal line, and
he just sticks his stick out, and it just redirects top shelf. And the one time he doesn't get it top shelf, Sorokin gets it with the toe.
I saw two of those, man. One hit side of the net too, and it's like angle's a joke. Like that's a pass that should not be going to the net like that. But no, that's been a fun one to watch, and like man, I really felt for him because I thought in that Kapanen goal to keep it close. He comes in and just rifles a shot, like double toe drag, rifles a shot, crossbody far side, off the post and in to tie the game late in the third. Yeah. That's they're it's a fun series too, man. And I feel for Pittsburgh because, man, they just need anyone, a pylon in that, man.
Man, it's like Jari, his goaltending yesterday was what we expected from him for the season.
For the season, yeah.
Like I remember one of my hot takes because we were just looking over like our season predictions at the beginning of the year. I said Jari's gonna have a save percentage below 900, and I was fully believing in that. And he comes out and plays well, and then everything just falls back down to earth, I guess, in game one. But I mean that series has been a lot more fun to watch than I was expecting. Same. Usually the Islanders kind of slow things down a little bit, try and get it to play their game, and don't really allow much to happen at all at either end. But yeah, it's been exciting.
Yeah, for them to control the pace was really cool. Pardon me, Tay.
Well, they're a completely different team. Like, it's so interesting because you add guys like Palmieri, obviously Barzal, Oliver Wahlstrom, even J.G. Pajot. Like, these guys love to play, drive the play. Thank you. It's so fun to watch. It's just so good to see. Like, a team that has been dogged for being so defensive and like kind of boring, cliche boring to watch, kind of come out and put up a solid offensive performance. Obviously, Jari not looking so hot, and maybe one or two of the goals were his fault, I'd say. But still, you got to get the puck to the net for them to go in. So
100%
from the Islanders.
And you know what? I was so like that game. I think could have easily been had six goals for Pitts. Like, I really thought they had some great opportunities that were just robbed in that game. It was just ironic to see the other side be, like, so lackluster. It was like, oh, come on. Like, I can't imagine how you feel on that bench. Like, keep having to get goals. You see these weak ones going in the play, like, when it's showtime. But,
yeah,
we'll see how that plays out. It's definitely an interesting series.
Definitely. I think, what do you guys think Jari starts next game two?
I don't, who's their backup?
Casey DeSmith, yeah.
Yeah, I think Jari starts, but
I don't think you can give him, especially an OTL.
But you know
think
what? If it was another bad one, I think about putting in the backup. I just think it's weird because I don't know. I just don't know how he let in that many. I just didn't think the Islanders were doing that many. They were all just shots from like beyond the face-off circle, that beat him glove and stuff. Like almost nobody in front of him. Like you got to be there for those. I think he ducked the first one. He actually ducked it and it went in over his shoulder and it was like, okay.
Yeah,
so, yeah I don't know.
That's a peewee move. That's something I'd do in peewee.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah. Oh, it's going. Yeah, that's up there.
yeah.
Also, two roughing penalties for Marchand in this game. He's kind of losing his cool.
Man, what just happened there? Like,
did you see that wrestling match?
I just saw it, but like. Mantha didn't get anything until Marchand hooked him around the neck, and then it was like, you know what, you're also going.
He cross checked him in the neck. I think because Marchand's so short, it hit him really high, and then I think he was kind of wouldn't let it go. I think the wires were a little across there. He just wanted to get a stick on him, the Gordie Howe hook.
Yeah, it's just weird that once Marchand took a penalty, then he finally sent Mantha.
Yeah, all right, you're both gone.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that too.
It was fine until Marchand did it. Then okay, I can take both. You're good.
Yeah.
This series has a lot of hits thrown.
Yeah.
It's been great. I mean, for most series right now, having the fans in the building has got to be great for us, one, but like for the teams as well. Like they've dabbled through like a couple thousand fans, but I mean, having a couple thousand people there and then having usually most teams have had it at least about triple of what they were allowed in the regular season. Having that plus the playoff intensity and the fans knowing the playoff intensity, it's got to feel like there's eight times the amount of people in there.
Yeah.
Like, these guys haven't played in front of fans for almost a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, it's got to be so, like, just getting out of the tunnel and just yeah. and just especially at home, like having your home fans like going berserk for you, it's got to be great to get you that full intensity.
Yeah, definitely something that the North Division's gonna miss in the first couple of rounds. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, they can get to a spot where they can have fans in the building at some point in the playoffs. But yeah, definitely, like teams that don't make it past the second round, obviously, are gonna miss out on that.
Yeah, it's especially like watching the Carolina game today. They're at full capacity. At least it looks like it. If not, yeah. they got to be at like 95, because yeah. that building is rocking.
Yeah, it is powerful, and I think there's an electricity. I've seen it in like all the sports that are allowing fans back, and like the playoffs are a whole other story. Especially mm-hmm. we all know how crazy playoff hockey is. So that again, like the levels of excitement is nuts. But I just think like. People being able to go back to games right now, even like the people get very excited. Like, it's crazy for the players, but like it's crazy for the fans. Like, it's big for celebrities to go mm-hmm. to these games, right? Like anyone, it's a huge thing. It's a big day if anyone can watch a playoff hockey and like with the way the world works right now. So it's just like everyone is extra riled. I actually could not believe like. How much the fans were jumping in Florida. I couldn't believe it. Like, it made me feel a lot less crazy about how I jump around my living room watching all this stuff. Because literally, like, every time they missed the net wide and stuff, everyone, the fans, like, are all blowing up. Even some of the celebrations, I think, are going viral. I saw some guy, like, get left hanging in Florida by, like, four people trying to get a high five. But they're all just, like, they're so happy. And, like, I can't imagine how it amplifies in there, because there's just so much built up to fans coming back for playoff hockey right now. So
I mean, the games that they're getting to watch are not hurting that intensity either, right? Like, every game is one goal game. There's only been one game that didn't go to overtime. It was like a minute and a half goal to win it. Even the shots in every game have all been close. The only thing that wasn't really close was Minnesota Vegas, but that was the first period Vegas outshot them by four times.
Yeah.
And then since then, after that, it was all even. And
Minnesota ended up winning the game anyways, so.
Yeah.
Want to hit that quickly? Dude, Flower. Fleury Man, was playing
Cam great. Talbot.
Cam well, Talbot yeah. and Fleury was just Jesus. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun goalie matchup to kind of watch that series.
You see how many times Hartman like had 11 or 12 scoring chances on him, and almost every single time, he just like big, flashy glove save, like. Man, his 15th consecutive playoffs for Marc-Andre Fleury. That's never been done by any NHL goalie.
Nope.
Like, oh, dude, he is such a cool story. Go to that team and just put him on his back like he's done. Like, who knows what that team would look like if they didn't get Flower in that draft.
Well, especially after last year, where it was kind of like, okay, he's starting to fall off a little bit. His numbers have always been, like, a bit amplified because of how strong his teams were in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Like, his actual numbers weren't, like, the greatest. And then last year they were pretty subpar, and obviously that forced Vegas to go get Robin Lehner at the deadline and then lose his net to Lehner. But, I mean, he's silenced everybody so far this year. He came back very strong, and game one just kind of showed that.
He kind of loves, I don't know if he loves it or not, but like he's not fazed by haters at all. And like
his agent does.
Well, yeah, right. whenever doubt creeps in on that guy, like he always overcomes it. Whether it's this new team, whether it's losing his net like multiple times, he's always come back stronger. And man, like if he could do it there, like to cap off his career, man, it would be nuts. So I can't help but sort of root for Vegas. Like a little bit of me is like, man, if they were to ever do it, like. What a fuck! How does this team be so good? And how does I think Flower's nuts. I don't get how he still got the starting job. I don't get how he plays. How he plays. Like he looks like he plays out of his mind all the time. And it's the way. Did you see some of the saves he makes? It's like so old school. The way like his body flies around, gets totally beat cross crease, and like somehow gets the blocker over and like a straight flail. Yeah. And the noise you hear when the crowd goes off from that. Oh,
that's like, the thing, right? Like I keep waiting with his crazy acrobatic style of play. I keep waiting for him just to not make those saves.
Same.
And him just giving up more goals. And it just somehow it just doesn't.
Seems ageless. Yeah.
It's almost like he plays a better style of Jonathan Quick. because Quick played like that for a while, but Quick's kind of garbage now. Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing with Fleury. First of all, he was my favorite goalie since I was a little kid. I hate Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm not a huge fan of Vegas, but I have always loved Marc-Andre Fleury. The way he plays, he's so good technically. Like, he's always in position. His angles look great. Maybe not always in position, but his angles are usually really good. Mm-hmm. His movement is so smooth. He looks really crisp. And then as soon as he's out of position, he's able to make those athletic diving saves that just, like, put him over the edge. Man, the one blocker save he had against Kaprizov in that first game, literally he's over to one side of the crease, and he's in the splits like this as Kaprizov kind of, like, toe drags, opens his hips, and, like, tries to pop it up, and he just gets it with
the
save.
Yeah, he somehow gets back.
Are you fucking crazy? Talk about pulling your groin. Like, that's nuts. That's nuts. And that's easy for him. Like, not easy, but that's a regular occurrence. Like, he does that all the time. And then
it looks easy. Fuck.
Totally. And his patented, like, splits, glove flash, windmill. Yeah. Oh, it's so fucking sexy. Super unnecessary most of the time, probably.
Well,
so sexy.
It was getting to Hartman, too. Like, I remember,
he
the
was
11th.
Screaming.
The 11th one, he was, Dumba, I think, grabbed him and was like, yo, we're good. We're in this. Like, 0-0. It's all good. But, you could tell. He was just, and fuck. What a game, man. He's exciting to watch, but I also don't know how the team didn't have him, man. Like, how do they not get one? It was actually insane. What were the shots again? Weren't they way one way?
I think it was 40-32.
Yeah, so they kind of came back with it.
42-30.
I haven't really seen Vegas' pressure be stumped like that. Like, really much ever, but not much this year, so.
Yeah. You know. And it's completely different. Like, Fleury, like you were saying, like, he's got those acrobatic saves. He's kind of just standing on his head, looks really good. And then Talbot is just super sound.
Man.
Like, everything that hit him dropped right in front of him. He covered it up. Like, he was super compact.
You look at the shot maps of, like, both teams, and, like, Vegas's is pretty tight in front of the net, but, like, all spread out throughout the entire rink. And then Minnesota's is, like, pretty crammed to, like, short right-hand side. Like, there's not a lot of shots from the points there. Vegas is, like, spread out all the entire thing, but, man, a lot of close-range shots. It's not like these teams were both playing defensively for 65 minutes and they were just chucking in point shots. Like, these teams they fucking had great chances both ways.
Also, we cannot undermine how awesome, like, how much they needed a win in Vegas, like, for this series.
Yeah.
Like, Minnesota, to do it the game one, man.
Oh,
you can't come any... And to shut them out when he's playing, when Flowers playing like that. Yeah, that was a massive, massive win. And you can see it. Like, any OT win in the playoffs is big. But when those guys couldn't believe it, they did it. When they were all jumping on each other at the end of the game. So, if they can keep it going. Pardon me.
if Minnesota wins this series, it's 100% Cam Talbot that does it for them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think they came out sleeping the first period. It looked like they were a team just playing a regular season game, and Vegas was playing a playoff game, because there was multiple times where two Vegas guys are jamming Cam Talbot literally into the net. They're pushing him in the net when he's got the puck covered, and they do not get a finger on either of them. Like, they're just like, okay, can you, like, get out of my crease, please? And I think that first period they got outshot, I think, 19-5. I think they go into the dressing room and they realize they got to dial it up. Cam Talbot was the savior for that period, and I think they just realized that, okay, we got to start finishing all of our checks. Like, we can't, like, Vegas felt probably so comfortable after that period. They thought, we're not getting any pushback, we're not getting anything. And I think Minnesota they came together and, like, okay, we got to fucking do this here, fellas. Like, we're going to get swept if we keep playing like this. Talbot's not going to make 20 saves a period and every night for us.
Yep. Man, that another contract's good series. Looking really good, too.
Talbot?
Talbot's, yeah.
What's it at? Sorry.
He's making, like, $3.5 million.
Yeah, I think
for
it's
how
like
many years, though? Just one?
Two more.
Like, the next two.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I think he signed a pretty close to $10 million deal for three. Oh, what a fucking shot by Jordan Staal.
I'm switching over.
Is that the second goal?
That was a second goal. Shorthanded. I forgot I switched back to see the goal, and I forgot a goal was coming, and that was an unbelievable shot. He's basically on the goal line, up and over Saros' shoulder, short side, shorty. And that's what happens when your goalie's 5'9".
Oh my god, that guy just guzzed his Gatorade. Holy shit. Oh. You see that? Oh. Stalls just...
Cheddar.
That guy
Cheddar
must just Bob. Down beers.
Oh. Man, the building is electric.
Dude,
there.
It's so great. Oh. So fans, now we're going to watch like a Toronto game and be like, okay.
This sucks, yeah. This
I can't wait to hear the crickets in Canada, man. It must be fucking brutal. And like, you, wait till you see what happens when McDavid hits a full crowd.
Right?
Can you imagine?
Oh man, what a shot. Jesus
Christ.
That was
nuts.
Saros has to grow a little bit.
That's the one problem with the short goalie is he can't go down early.
Yeah.
We talked about Pittsburgh, right? Yeah.
We did.
I guess it's the old Sunshine State.
Yeah, the old Sunshine. There's a couple things I want to talk about with this.
There's a few things in this one.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to find this. Yeah, go ahead.
I think we should start with the suspension.
What do you Sassy. Guess? Sassy alert.
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Sam Bennett absolutely hammered Jan Ruda from behind. Gets suspended one game for it. Man,
wait,
other
Jan
than
Ruda,
that.
Was it not Blake Coleman?
It was Blake Coleman.
Oh, my bad.
That's
sorry.
Already easy to do.
It shows that the Department of Player Safety is able to hand out suspensions.
No way. Who would have thought?
Yeah, just it looked like he was coming in from his own bench, essentially. Coleman's numbers were showing the entire way, and he didn't care.
Nope.
He went to finish a check, and Coleman never turned.
Yeah. Yeah, and man, before this hit, like, he was playing so well.
He was.
Like, Sam Bennett in the playoffs is a completely different Sam Bennett. We showed that in Calgary. The 10 games or 12 games or whatever that he played with Florida before the playoffs, like, he was looking really good, but I don't know, he just turned it up a little bit, that extra little dial there, he turned it up and he looks really good.
Yeah, that, it's very much him too. It just seems like a mistake, but it's exactly how he plays the game. It's kind of like he hits those corners like hard and fast, and that was a little overboard, obviously, but I just think he's crashing hard for those hits in the corner all the time, and I probably just wanted him to turn. And you know what? He's probably too fired up with the crowd and the team and the game. It kind of just looks like he got too excited in this one. I just think
that. I think so. I think he.
Yeah, like I think that's a bit too much. Like I bet you he thinks he's barely moving, but he's out there like full Mach 10
like,
at the guy.
The heat, like, okay, we got to finish all of our checks. Like he's just dialed in to do that, and
mm-hmm.
Caught him a little bit.
That is his I honestly, he probably would just wasn't thinking he'd wreck him like that, and just wasn't thinking much about the hit. But that's it is so he's. But I love how he's so fired up. Like I don't want him to change anything. But he was a little too overzealous on this one. Yeah. You know, hit him right in the numbers. But yeah, he's playing great hockey. Go ahead, Ty.
Do you think his absence is felt? Like, do you think that it changes anything in game two?
Yeah, I think his motor, like, I think he's got to wear them down a little. Like, you lose a tiny bit of speed, but it's such a deep team that I don't think it's a huge one, but just a push of pace. He's really good at that.
Yeah, I think it'll be slight, but I think definitely there could be some missing him, but yeah, same thing as Ty. Florida's, they're so solid up front, and... they'll have guys that can fill the role.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's both, just a good... Both...
Go ahead.
I was going to say it's a big lesson for him. That's all, one game.
Totally.
Hopefully they'll be okay. But then again, in this series, like, you can't really afford much against the Tampa Bay Lightning. You kind of need a full team. So, it still hurts. When you see Tampa on the other side of the rink, you're going to need everybody.
And I think one goal is pretty fair.
One game.
Jesus, I am.
He's buzzing. He's got game one playoffs coming up next. He's just a little excited.
I was actually looking at like expected goal charts for the games that have finished. That's why.
Okay,
makes sense.
One game. I agree. It's fair. You gotta give him something for that. Yeah. What was the penalty in the play? Boarding for
two for charge.
Two for charge. Okay.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yeah, man. And yeah. Like you were saying, sorry, just about like the Florida up front, like Barkov and Huberto both kind of just dialed it in, turned it up to that next level as well. And fuck, they were both buzzing. Both looked so good.
Such a great game, too. Like, just back and forth.
Back and forth.
Bodies were flying. It was an incredible playoff game, and it seemed like they've been rivals for 30 years. Like, it did not look like a first playoff meeting of a successful team and a not-so-successful team, essentially, or organization. Florida did not seem like they missed a beat. Bobrovsky was, he was all right.
Yeah.
But he's got to be better for game two, but.
I think that was my next question. I was just going to say, like, do you start him again?
I think so.
I do. I think so as well. I thought he made some good saves, too. Like, Tampa looked like they were doing Tampa things all game. The power play is just, like, so lethal. So, I don't know. I didn't think he did that bad. They had a couple big Bobrovsky calls. Bobrovsky! man, to think they're doing this without their number one D-man is, right? Like, nuts, too. That's what I can't help but be just sort of proud of them. And the last time I'll say it, this crowd is special. Like, that crowd in Florida for this rivalry is electric. Like, I was having so much fun watching the fans in this one.
They were loud for 50%, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I think to touch on the Aaron Ekblad missing, I think it has a lot to say about Mackenzie Weegar and, like, just his play in general. If you ask me, I'd say he's probably on a couple Norris ballots. He's done, like, everything right this year, especially with Ekblad before he went down, and then didn't skip a beat as soon as he went down. So, guys showing that he can play hockey, for sure.
Well said.
I thought you were gonna go into the number one players having an impact kind of thing, because Tampa got a couple guys back. I don't know if you heard of them, Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov. I think they've been in the league for a couple years. Yeah, deadline acquisitions, was it? Kucherov, first game of the season for him after a off-season surgery, and I mean he's been practicing for what seems like 5 months, but anywho. You do what you do to get under the cap, and he came back, never missed a beat. Two goals and an assist. Yeah, he had at least one assist.
Yeah, two goals and assist. Three. It's interesting because there's been a lot of uproar about specifically specifically Kucherov, because obviously they put him on IR to get under the cap. There's a lot of speculation that maybe he wasn't hurt for as long as he needed to be or whatever. You see it as an example a few times. So, like, with the Vancouver Canucks, like, they used to do the same thing back in the day when Mike Gillis was the GM. They'd have, like, players go on IR that maybe weren't I don't have an example there off the top of my head. But one that does come to mind is Patrick Kane. Sorry, you okay, Ty?
Yeah, I'm good, sorry. I've never seen someone go in the net that hard, holy hell. Go ahead, sorry. Patrick Kane?
Yeah, so Patrick Kane in 2015, the year the Hawks won the Cup, like he was hurt for majority of the year, and his cap didn't count towards the Hawks, and I don't think he could have played, if I'm not mistaken. So, it's being done, and until it's gonna be done. Like, teams are gonna find a way to use it until the rest of the league kind of says otherwise. So.
Well, exactly. It's not anything that's against the rules right now, so you can't.
Yeah.
You can't have too much beef with it. It is a little shady because it's like, but I mean the offset of that is Kucherov hasn't played a game in 10 months basically. Yeah. There's no certainty that he comes back guns a-blazing. Like, you have guys going down for conditioning stints after a month and a half because the level of the play of the NHL is fucking high. Having him practice is all in all, but there's no way to simulate that intensity.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, there's no guarantee that he comes back and puts up 3 points in the first game. No.
Plus, like, you know what? Like, it's a little cheeky. If your team is good enough that they can let one of their top four players sit for the year, and, you know, maybe he got hurt, maybe he didn't, and maybe it keeps under cap. If you can afford to sit your superstar, like, if you're that good, do it. Like, why wouldn't you? And especially a team like this, like, we're not going to fuck around. We've had these unreal seasons. We've seen the good and the bad and the ugly. We've seen some bad injuries. Like, why take any chances? Like, I don't care if it's a little shady. Like, this is your time to do it. And, you know, you're just being cautious, man. I don't really see anything wrong with it.
Well, especially it's not like they didn't really pay a price for it.
No, it could have been a rough season.
It could have been a rough season. They still fell to the 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, they lost home ice in the first 2 rounds, at least, most likely the entire way through. And now they got to play a higher seeded Florida, when if they won the division, they could have been taking on a Nashville team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like, oh, they just, they breeze through everything. Like, I don't know. I can see both sides. Like, I can see it's a little fishy, but I mean,
they're
playing within the rules. And
I just think there's situations too. Like, what if you have a super superstar athlete? Megastar Ovechkin or Crosby, and they're at the end of their career. They want to make a couple more runs, and they can't play the full season. But you know, they're gonna be unreal when they're in there. So if it was the only way to get them there safely for sure, wouldn't you do it? Like, wouldn't you just do the same thing with them? Well, just like, to give them another year or two.
Yeah, it's like Justin Williams. Was it last year?
I think.
He retired after the season before that. And then he was like, yeah, I'm done. But then he signed with Carolina again in I think it was like middle of January because he still wanted to make the playoff push. So they just brought him back and a little bit different circumstances. But I mean,
obviously he's not a superstar in his prime, but
if you can use him.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it also shows like kind of what you said before, like it shows how good Tampa is built, that they can literally have like a top 10 player in this league, not play an entire game. Whether it's due to, I mean, a lot of it's going to be recovery and stuff, but he probably could have come back 3 weeks ago, a month ago, maybe at the most.
I think the main reason you would be mad is just because, like, pretty much no other team can do that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. If you had to take away, like, a Leon Draisaitl from Edmonton, I wouldn't say McDavid because McDavid's, like, the best player in the world.
Yeah.
But if you took away Draisaitl and probably a little bit better than Draisaitl from the Oilers. Like, you think the Oilers are gonna be like, we're still good, we're cruising? Like,
no, are you
kidding me?
Yeah, how many? Yeah, and like, we're talking like top. They're pretty much top two of their top three or top four, and like they're gone like the whole year or half the year. Yeah, so if they can do it, power to you. It's a tactic. You earned it by having such a good team, really. So yeah, that's kind of how I see it. Anything else for T-Bay?
Quick note, I felt bad for Bobrovsky on the game-winning goal, because it was like a crazy keep-in by Hedman, first off, just to even get the scoring chance set up, and then he feeds it over after a couple passes to Kucherov for what he's done twice already to score in the game. So Bobrovsky's like sliding way over, he's like, I gotta cover the short side cheddar, and he's in the corner and Kucherov fake slap passes it right in the middle for point, and point just taps it in. He fans on it, but Bobrovsky's touching the hash marks, so there's nothing he can do from there.
No, yeah, what are you gonna do there?
Hell of a
pass.
That was
the tying goal, right?
That was the game winner.
Man, Hedman swinging.
Oh, sorry. No, sorry. Tiangle. And then points. Yeah. Points breakaway.
Points B-way, yeah.
Yeah.
Five-hole. Cheeky.
Oh, that's a penalty. Yep. Lorenz just fucking hammered a dude while he was down into the head.
Oh, it's getting feisty.
Oh, we can jump right into this series. We're two periods in, or a period and a half in, but there's already been a lot of talking points in this one.
Firstly, Alex Nedeljkovic starts.
That's where I was going in first.
What's going on there?
I have no idea.
Injury?
I haven't heard. No, Mrazek's backing up.
He's on the bench.
He's on the bench. So they go with their young guy.
Super interesting.
I don't know.
It's not looking so hot. 15 shots, 2 goals. I mean, it's not terrible, but he's not, like, Mrazek literally played, like, 6 games this year, I think, or 7 games, and he had, like, 5 shutouts. So you'd think that they'd go with somebody who, A, has experience, and B, like, did really well this year. Obviously, the time played, or the amount of games played, wasn't there, but... Oh,
that's a little unlucky. Brock McGinn like cross checks him in the back as Lorenz is coming in for a hit, which drops him down, and then his hip goes into his head. Unfortunate, but I think you got to call it.
Yeah,
but let's get this series feisty. Let's go.
What do you guys got for this one? This one, I missed most of game one.
This is game one, Ty.
Oh shit! I was like, I haven't seen a game yet. Well, fuck. They're flying. I still can't believe Nashville made it, but they look like a totally different team by the second half of the season, so I don't know.
Yeah, Forsberg's first goal of the night, incredible. Their second goal, a little bit less than incredible, but, I mean, puck still goes in the net, so...
it was the same on the scoreboard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look good. I mean...
As long as UC Soros can keep his play up,
mm-hmm.
they have a shot, I'd say.
Because they've always had the team on the paper a little bit that, like, if they can ever, because they're not that much different than the team they had 3 years ago when they were dominant. Mm-hmm. And they kind of just fell off the rails. But it's like, if they could ever just click back again, I mean, what's stopping them? They've done it. So it's kind of like they've almost got there this playoff push. And if they can continue on, Carolina's got a shorthanded breakaway or a 2-on-1 right now, but.
It done nothing with it.
Yeah, nothing with it.
I don't know. I think when Nashville was scary, one, they had, like, unreal goaltending, like, so consistent, too. The goalie was nuts. But
Rene, top five of the league.
Also, like, remember how their defense broke out the way they did? Like, Ellis just had one of his, the best year he's ever had, and, like, nothing really close to that since. Played out of his mind. He was scoring goals like crazy from like, the back end. Same with the guy they gave the captaincy to. Him too. He just like absolutely lit it up. Yeah. So I don't really see that as much. Like, I've never seen Ellis play that way. And even Arvidsson, like, I remember Arvidsson having an unreal year that year. And like, I feel like the defense kind of fell off from what it was. I feel like they're more forwards carry more of the weight now than it used to be, like, the back end doing most of the bolstering.
Well, they had, like, they were easily willing to give up Sam Girard because they had 4 stellar defensemen on the back end, like Josi, Ekholm, Ellis, and Subban.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were like, okay, these guys are 4 for a long time, so, like, we might as well get some value out of Girard, as he's not going to get a lot of ice time to prove that he has all the value, so thanks. But
yeah, you'll take him.
Yeah, and then Subban, I mean, he fell right off.
Yeah.
And then they're playing with 3D, and that's not enough to withhold a not so great offense.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, but I mean, Matt Duchene can still at some point score like unbelievable goals. You think he's going to score 40 goals every year and he scores 18, and it's so confusing.
Dude, Forsberg too. Like, I do not put a cap on that guy's potential, like, ever. Cause he pulls out Michigan's out of nowhere, almost gets them. Like, he's not really afraid to do anything. And, ever since he came into the league, he's just been like, some of his goals are just nuts.
Yeah,
I don't know. They could do it.
I mean, you could tell me any amount of goals Philip Forsberg scores in a season, I'd believe it. You'd be like, he scored like 11. I'd be like, I mean, yeah, I can see it. His shot's not incredible, but like, he's got the ability. And then it's like, yeah, he scored 44. It's like, all right, I can see it, yeah. like anything in the range there.
Dude, these jerseys are pretty nice too. Have they had these like the whole year? I haven't noticed that the patches on the shoulder are black.
It's their thirds. But they wear their thirds in the playoffs. It's wild.
You guys just see that penalty?
Yeah. It's their third jerseys. I have this jersey with Svechnikov on it because he's my boy.
And it's even blacked out on there for you? I just never noticed that. Like, it's all matte black, it's on like the...
grayscale on the shoulders, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool.
Super filthy. Nice jerseys. Super nice
really
jerseys.
Nice.
Yeah. I've had them for 3, I think, years now.
Yeah, dude, those things are pretty fresh.
Yeah, so nice.
I hit on all. Where we go from here? You got anything for this series? I'm kind of just excited to watch it. I don't really have much to say yet. We just, I guess, game one. I missed the other one.
Ty's got Preds in seven, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think they can do it, but
I think so
they also just they look so different. Like I think it's weird to see teams turn on right before the playoffs because it just totally shifts what I've thought about them all year.
Totally. It's like peaking at the right time.
Yeah, man, you nailed it with that one. Yo, one more quick thing I was reading. Someone explained to me sending down Brendan Gallagher and Carey Price.
Yeah, because I was just going to say we can go into the series that haven't started because there's still points about those. We can jump into the Montreal one. Yeah, basically they haven't played in a while, so you can send guys down on a conditioning stint without having them to go through waivers. Basically allowing them to...
Just get a warm-up game?
Yeah, get warm-up games. I think you can do it for like a couple weeks max. And just to get their legs... Feet under their legs? What's the saying?
Feet under them? Just get their...
Legs under them?
Yeah. We're all wrong! Keep going. I think he might have had it. I don't even fucking know.
Anyways, just to get them back up to... Yeah. Get them back going, so... I think they were playing with Laval tonight, or Laval. Is it still Laval?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. But yeah, I don't know when they're going to be, cause they said that they'd be ready for game one. So I don't know if that changes their status, but.
Are there AHL playoffs?
Not this year. I don't believe. I think the Calder Cup has been canceled.
Oh, too bad.
Bummer.
I was going to say that'd be a great late season edition. <Can you imagine? laughs>
It's like bringing in Kucherov and Stamkos.
Yeah.
I thought I was reading it wrong when I was reading it. I was like, what? And then I read some of the comments and I started to understand a bit more. But
yeah, I mean, another point on that, Ducharme, their head coach, is, as of right now, not playing Cole Caulfield or Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
Just because they're young?
In game one, because they have no experience. Because
he's an idiot.
I don't know. There's this huge fascination in the NHL, especially with new coaches, that they overthink everything and they're just like, we need experience out there. It's like, experience doesn't win you hockey games. Cole Caulfield's shot can win you a hockey game.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, funny thing.
Two games in a row.
Sorry. Yeah, the funny thing going around is, like, Ducharme has no experience. Like, why don't we just can him and bring in somebody else for the playoffs?
Yeah.
To coach the team. Like
Michelle Terry, and you're back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hopefully those guys are back. Talking about Gallagher and Price, because I want that series to be great.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't play Caulfield, like...
Fans must be pissed. How do you even explain that to fans?
Oh, there's so many Habs fans pissed off. Like,
yeah,
I don't know how you explain it. It's like, you know what? We're going to play Eric Staal because he's played in a couple postseasons and won a cup 14 years ago.
Right. Is that what it comes down to? It was like Staal or him, pretty much?
It's basically like, yeah, it was like Staal or Kokaniemi was like the main comparison. And it's kind of funny because you talk about experience, and I saw a great tweet. Since Jesperi Kokaniemi's been in third grade, Eric Staal has 2 playoff goals, and Jesperi Kokaniemi has 4.
Yeah. That's actually nuts.
So, experience is great, but it was a long-ass time ago.
You're an underdog in this series already, right? Like, they're coming in the lower seed, and like, you know...
Big-time underdog.
Big-time underdog. So, how are these guys going to get experience on your fucking squad? What are you going to do next year? Like, bench them again?
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It doesn't make
any sense.
You're looking at your future. Obviously, Eric Staal's not going to be a part of your future. He's like 37. Maybe next year. Maybe if he decides to resign, or if you even want him to come back. But Kotkaniemi's like 20 years old, man. Like, get him in the lineup. Get him the experience. So in 2-3 years from now, when you have a competitive team, you can actually have guys with experience, not guys that have sat out the first fucking game, first fucking series in the playoffs. Like,
exactly. That's the whole point of being like, in a normal season, like an 8 seed, right? Like you play your young guys, you know you're most likely not going to win. You're an 8 seed. Mm-hmm. But you get those guys going, and sometimes we've seen the youth movements of some teams that come in, those guys are just so hungry and so balls to the wall that they win you games.
Yeah.
Yep.
It brings a whole new mentality and play style to your team when you get...
Like, you don't think Cole Caulfield's getting ready and pumped up before his first ever playoff game? Like, you don't think he's ready to go against the Leafs?
Coming off his hot start, yeah.
Like,
he's ready.
How many games did he play this year?
7? 8, 9?
Nah, I have no idea.
So what does it burn a year on his contract if he...
It will no matter what due to his age.
Yeah, so then why the fuck would you not play?
10 games. Ten games.
They're... Like, you're gonna sit him to burn a year. Like, you played in the 10 games at the end of the year to burn a year on his contract to not use him in the playoffs?
That's
like, why would you even sign him?
It's exactly the thing I tweeted out. I was like, why even sign this dude out and burn a year when you can just sign him in the offseason for a full 3 years? Like, this is the whole reason why you fucking play the game, is to get in the playoffs and try and find something.
I could see a little bit of pressure from, like, I don't know where, maybe the management or whoever acquired Eric Staal in the deal. Like, he's clearly, is he a UFA after this? So he's clearly, like, for this season. So I guess there's some, like, why are we paying for this guy and not using him? Might be going around a bit. But at the same time, like, anyone can tell that the better the person to put out there is the kids. So yeah, I don't get it.
It's the whole thing of... like a sunk cost fallacy. Like, Mark Bergevin, if he is like pressuring him to play Eric Staal, it's like, we acquired this guy for a draft pick, so now we can't healthy scratch him because we're losing value on that draft pick. But it's like, you have to, as soon as you acquire a guy, you have to just forget the entire thing of what you gave up for him. He's just another player on your roster, and what helps you win the best, not what makes you look a bit better to the ownership. Because There's a little question marks in Mark Bergevin's future, which I think is fair.
Yeah.
It's one of those markets where, like, their fan base is so crazy that, and like, probably goes so deep. They care so much and have for so long, like probably through generations, that I just feel like everything is speculated on so harshly and so much there. Every kid in the city, but I just think Toronto and Montreal, like, it's just so deep. Like, when you fuck up there, I could see them overthinking things. Because when you fuck up there, like,
oh yeah,
you fuck up.
Two of the biggest, like, markets and, like, traveling markets. Like, you go to any arena with those teams playing in it. Like, if they're the away team, you got at least, like, 30% fans for that team. Like,
yeah.
They're just the original six. They always travel well. They have the biggest markets and the biggest fan bases because they've been there the longest and they have great success in the past. So, but I think Montreal needs to get away from this French-Canadian aspect of it and just be another team, and they'll just get so much more success out of it.
Yeah, were we talking, like, about that last pod? Or
no, I think we were talking about when we were over. We were hanging out.
Yeah, okay.
Because, like, if you're just restricting yourself to coaches that speak French and English, and, like, GMs as well, and I'm assuming, and then, like, players that you're preferencing for French-Canadians, it's like, it worked in the 30s back in the day because... You had players coming out of Ontario, and you had players coming out of Quebec, and there was no draft. So you just signed the guys out of Quebec. Now you're nuts, right? Yeah. But, like, it doesn't...
Where do you draw the line on tradition, though?
It doesn't work like that. If any other place did that, they'd be a crapshoot.
Yeah. Who's going to be the guy to come in and change all that, though? Like, how...
I think the ownerships kind of brings that. So I don't know. I don't think it'll change for at least a while. But
I mean, think if they did it, the fans would be mad. But I think so.
They'd be
over it in two seasons when they had a good team again. Sorry, pardon me.
You know what? I think they would be the exact same situation that Vegas was in when they fired Gerard Gallant and brought in DeBoer. Because it was like Gallant was fired, and it was like, are you kidding me? Like, he was our guy. We weren't doing that bad. Like, he was like... basically our savior, but we never had a bad period. But he was just like, he was the guy that we looked to. And then he gets fired and they bring in their rival's coach. And it's like, are you fucking serious? Like, do you know, like, the shit that happened? And then, like, the board carries them. And it's like, okay, we're good now. Like, some success can change your mind on a lot of things.
Yeah.
I think that's everything for that series. I think we can jump to the other Canadian series quickly.
I just want to say one thing. No idea why. First of all, sorry, two things. One, Washington scored, so it's 3-2. Not sure who scored.
I'm over.
What's going on there? But secondly, I had a dream last night that Carey Price was holding up the Stanley Cup. So I don't know what my dreams are kind of fucked, and my brain's probably not right. But, like, we'll see. Throw some money on the Canadians because apparently I think that they're gonna win. But I was going to say, like, even if they just get to Game 7 against the Leafs, like, that's a big win. Especially if they're playing guys like Caulfield and Kotkaniemi to get them the experience. Like, that's a huge win. If they play the experienced guys and they get to game seven and lose, like, that's bad. Like, that's not great. Right. So, yeah, they gotta really get those young guys the experience.
I don't know how you can cheer on, like, if they're your team. Like, I don't know how you can cheer on and support them playing Eriksdal over, like, a Kotkaniemi and a Caulfield.
Doesn't make sense.
Nothing.
Well, and if you were gonna go out and get Eriksdal, why sign Caulfield? Or if you were gonna sign Caulfield, why go out and get Eriksdal?
Yeah, make a damn choice before this time. Yeah, kind of.
It's like, yeah, it even if Eriksdal helps you 1% more to beat the Leafs, like, is it really worth it than getting these guys, like,
in there, get the feet wet?
Yeah, because the whole point of when you're a low seed is when, essentially, you should climb from the bottom to, like, a playoff team to a contender. So when you guys a playoff team, you want to get those young guys going so that when you become a contender, they're well built for it, mm-hmm. and they know the moments.
Yeah.
You can't get guys experience without playing the games.
I also feel like you also, like, just because you're an underdog, you can't you can't ignore the fact that Toronto's choked countless times.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's kind of in their culture right now. It's kind of a losing city when it comes to the playoffs, and, like, everybody knows that. So you can always, the mental game's always going to be there until these guys, like, conquer the demon and climb the mountain and can actually get deep in the playoffs for once. But mm-hmm. so I think, like, the pressure is really on Toronto. Like, even if they can win a couple games, steal a home game or two, like, you got to imagine every player is just sweating, like, not again. So, I think if doubt creeps in on them, it won't be like Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, these guys will fold under the pressure if they get enough pressure.
Yeah, especially with as a no-pressure team. That's exactly the time you want to get your young guys in. You don't want to get them in, like, oh, we're the number one seed now, and these guys have never played a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just let them fly. Let them just take the reins off. Let them go. And just let them live the moment.
See what they can do. Especially with Caulfield just playing the way he is. It's like, are you not already seeing what he can do? And is it not an A? Is it not an A? Is it not, like, way more than you thought?
Yeah.
So what's Stahl giving you every game? Is he giving you an A? Yeah, you're not going to give that guy an A. You're going to give that guy a C+, at best. Maybe B- if he scores. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, he's going to go -3. he gets in the game. Yeah, Winnipeg, Edmonton, I don't think there's too much that's happened so far. They start in a couple of days, and I think we touched on them before, but we were unsure of the actual final seedings, but they ended up the way that we had them. I think the only last series is St. Louis, Colorado, which starts in about 10 minutes. We didn't really touch on it too much because at the time we recorded last, it was the Avs Wild and Vegas against St. Louis, which... I think we touched on it a little bit and changed our predictions too much. Like, I don't think we would have changed teams. I think Minnesota gives Vegas a bit more run for their money, which we kind of saw in game one, than St. Louis would. But I think the same thing, St. Louis might provide Colorado with a bit more run just because they play physical and can get under their skin. And Ryan O'Reilly and Zach Sanford seem to kill the Avs all the damn time. So
The matchups become that much better with with St. Louis and Minnesota swapping.
Yeah.
So I think it just makes for a more exciting round one.
Yep, and the Avs are finally healthy for the first time going into playoffs in probably 4 years, which is lovely to see. Grubauer's there.
No kidding.
McKinnon's back. Byram's still banged up, but it's not like he's a huge part of their defense. He's definitely going to be a piece when he comes back, but they've gone into the last playoffs with no Landeskog, no Rantanen, no Grubauer. Like, brutal injuries. No Girard. They've never had EJ for a playoff run. They still don't. But, I mean, yeah, I'm super excited. Hopefully they can kill him. Hopefully playoff Binnington returns from last year. I'm super excited, but I'm also pretty nervous. I'm excited to start
hitting the Blues. You gotta be nervous.
Yeah.
But good for them, dude. They know it's them. Like, they know it's their time to turn it on, and they know what they got to do. I'm sure of it, and I know McKinnon's got that locker room just tip top. Him and Landy.
Oh yeah,
everybody's fired up.
He is like, Stanley Cup is his number one thing in life, especially with following Crosby. He knows that he needs win cups if he wants to get, like, on the same level as his idol. Right. And I think Ryan O'Reilly coming out and saying that he's gonna that they're gonna beat the Avs. I think the one person that revved up more was McKinnon.
Yeah,
I think McKinnon's gonna score 8 goals tonight. Like he's probably gonna come flying in.
Playoff Mac
is gonna be dead.
Cannot wait to watch you scream at the TV.
It's gonna be yelling so loud.
I might count how many times he goes coast to coast and then shoots the puck on this team tonight. I'm betting it's more than 4. But what else was I gonna say? The acquisition of Grubauer too. I think you got him at the perfect time and like let him take that the first spot. And you've he's molded and he's gotten better every time. I don't think he's reached his full potential at all. And for him to come in healthy, that was my biggest wild card of the whole year, even in our earlier predictions. So I'm pretty revved up to see what they can do, and really excited for the team, but really for Grubauer. Like,
yeah,
I feel like since he got there, he hasn't had a fair shake at all. Like never, you know, no one did. But I'm happy to see him get a real shot this year, and I'm really excited to see what he could do. I think he might really wow people.
Well, yeah, that was the thing, right? I remember specifically talking about it in our like preseason predictions. Mm-hmm. Everybody was shitting on that the Avs need a goalie and stuff like that, and I said no. Like I have full trust in Grubauer, which is hard to have full trust in a goalie. Mm-hmm. You remember the bad games and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
My only worry was like his health a little bit, and he has been injured this year, but he's not injured now. So I have my faith in him. And even Jonas Johansson has played well after his first game with the Avs. So hopefully Grubauer stays healthy, and I think this team can go far if the injury bug doesn't kill them again.
I think that's a team that, especially this year, maybe not in the past, but especially this year, have really doesn't matter who's in net. Like I think it obviously does
to an extent, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You want Grubauer there for sure for the playoffs, but if you had to this year for sure, if you had to play like a Jonas Johansson or even a Devan Dubnyk, going into the playoffs, like it wouldn't be the end of the world. Mm-hmm. That being said, Grubauer adds that extra layer of like, oh fuck yeah, like this is gonna be great. So it'll be a good series. I'm excited.
Yeah,
every year, I was just gonna say, every year, even with the injuries, this team gets better every year, and it's like amazing, and it's like that they can do it even with all these injuries. So yeah, it's you gotta be just so fired up to see this team coming in healthy. Like, no one's going to know until you see what they can do, but because no one's ever seen it.
Yeah.
But, yeah it's going to be something special because this team is ready and this team's built up to this for years.
I still have all the doubt in my mind because they've been a bad team for so long. And, like, I just can't shake that. Anytime they go down, like, 1-0, I'm like, nah, fuck, they're back. Like, it's the team I love. Like, this is what they do, which I think is fair for most franchises probably.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. You kind of got to hear like the outside opinions on your own team to kind of believe it. Mm-hmm. And then obviously winning the President's Trophy. Congrats to them for doing that. But yeah, I don't know. I still have like 80% confidence in them.
I feel like you learned that as a kid, like growing up cheering for your team and like your team losing. Like it's so detrimental the first couple of times.
We're all Canucks fans at the beginning. That's the whole thing. That's the whole problem. It's the Canucks. They've killed us all.
No confidence whatsoever.
No confidence in anything.
No, no.
It's
also, I don't know. I was just going to say, the Canadian teams too. Like if you grew up in Canada, you're usually cheering for one of these teams. Like, fuck, when was the last time one of these teams did anything, right? Or was a real force, like the teams up north. So it's also kind of hard to accept. You don't really get a winning culture up here.
Yeah, exactly.
Anywhere.
Unless it's the Olympics, we're good, but.
Unless you can wait like 20 years and maybe your team can get good in that in your lifespan, but that's about it.
Well, and you see it with every team too, like. There'll be nights where Tampa blows a 4-goal lead, or there'll be nights where Calgary comes in and they just look dog shit right off the hop, or like, no offense, but same with Colorado, like it happens, right? Like,
yeah,
there's no way every team can be consistent. When you're fans like we are, and we watch like or pay attention to pretty much every game, like you're gonna be let down at some point in the season.
Oh yeah, and those are the ones you remember, right? Exactly.
Yeah, totally. Yep. So.
DeBrusk. Oh, what a move. That was
also nice. So cool with all the boys like in different teams. Cause I fucking hate when the Canucks go deep in the playoffs. Can't ever, even when they were going to the end and I like the Hall of the Canada was rooting for them. I was like at the dinner table, like, yeah. And then every time they're getting scored on, I fucking loved it. But, where was I going with this? Oh no.
It's nice when everybody likes different teams.
Oh, thank you, guys. Okay.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, it's just, like, it's nice to see, to get behind other fans and, like, rally with them through the playoffs. Like, slowly start being, like, I'm rooting for this guy, I'm rooting for this guy. And it's, like, it's just cool to see, have, like, fans around me that are, that love the game so much because,
yeah,
it's going to be wicked to see if we get deep with any of these teams. The excitement's going to be real.
Yeah, well, it's very true because tonight I'm rooting for the Colorado Avalanche, and I mean it's partially because I hate the St. Louis Blues, but also I don't normally like the I'm not normally a huge fan of Colorado, but because Mike is, like, I'm not gonna cheer against his team. Also, I'd love to see Colorado Tampa play at some point. So
that'd be nuts.
Yeah,
I feel like Mike's just sitting back right now. You're like, yeah, I just hate the Blues. He's just got a dartboard with the Blues on him. He's like, yeah, me too. Just fucking drilling them right now. But, man, is that about it for...
I think that just about wraps it up. I think that's almost perfect timing. It's 7:02.
Yeah.
I was playing about 10 minutes. Yeah, dude, I think it's... the playoffs have started out electric so far. And as the teams go deeper, I think most arenas are going to start opening up a bit more. So I think as the intensity grows, the building grows as well, and it's just going to be a great playoffs. But, hey, we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Updated,
gonna be dope.
Updated series and stuff. So
another episode of Playoff Edition Hosiers Panel. We'll be coming at you every week.
Man, it's just the start of a huge offseason. I think it's going to be one of the best playoffs in a long time.
I was just thinking today about like what we're gonna do when the playoffs are done, and I was like, oh yeah, we're gonna do like the draft shows and stuff, and I was like, I'm not gonna have anything for that, but I was like, I know the boys are gonna have so much for those. I was like, holy shit, like that is gonna be a good off season because these guys really know their stuff about the up and comers. So yeah, fired up for that.
Put a lot of pressure on me. I gotta do some studying.
Oh, I always learn so much and learn so many names from you guys just doing that. So it's gonna be a blast.
All right, well, yeah, thanks everybody for listening. First couple days of the playoffs are in, and we'll get another week action before we come back at you. But make sure you're following, subscribing, letting us know what you think of the podcast, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Yep, shout out to all the Hosiers out there. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the playoff hockey, and we're going to be back next week bringing it every time.
Beauty.
All right, later, guys. Oh, yeah, also technical difficulties. Tay is looks like Tay dropped just before we said bye. So, yeah, signing off for Tay here.
Yeah, go Bolts.
Yeah, go Bolts.